space to decorate the sky. Who was the one who died on Calvary with nails in his hands and nails in his feet? And victory from the grave. Then he went on back to heaven. And he's gonna come back soon.
Jesus, yes, just say nobody but Jesus.
Nobody
oh, but that's Jesus. The only person that entered into Amen. Your life, that Amen. Made your life such a beautiful Amen. Life, a pleasure to live, because Amen. You know that we could call on him 24/7. It was nobody but Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. It was nobody but Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Nobody but my Jesus. He was nobody. Nobody but Jesus. It was Jesus. Oh, yes, it was.
Hallelujah. 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 Let's give Jesus some praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning.
Praise the Lord. This is the Father's house.
Yes.
This is not the hog pen. There is peace in the house, glory in the house, joy in the house, healing in the house, salvation in the house, prosperity in the house. Everything you need is in the house. Everything you want is in the house. If it's not in the house, you don't need it. If it's not in the house, you don't want it. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, this day for your goodness to us. We thank you for this assembly gathered here this morning to enjoy the Word of God. We pray that you'll open our eyes this morning and we might behold wondrous things out of your Word. Give us the spirit of power and not of fear. Give us wisdom and understanding and revelation in the Word of God that we might be able to understand the authority of the believer in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
All right. Ooh, praise the Lord. We're in the book of Jude.
Yes, we are.
Let's see. I don't know how far Brother Thurston got last time, but I think where I was. Where did you get, Brother Thurston?
I got to around verse 12.
Okay.
Verse 11, last
one. Yeah, there you go. All right. Let's see. I'll start. I know that I was talking about Michael and the devil the last time I was here. So let's start in verse 10, and we'll go down a little farther. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally, as brute beasts, in those things that they corrupt themselves. That's what Sister Mary was saying a little bit ago. These people are, this is not something they know in the spirit. This is just something they naturally know with their fleshly minds. These are not spirit-filled, spirit-led people. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and run greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now there's an interesting statement here in verse 12, where it says, these whose fruit withers, twice dead. Now, you know, we understand that we were dead in trespasses and sins when we got saved. And then we were born again and became alive. But now these people, it says there are, these folks are twice dead. How do you become twice dead? Well, it appears from this that this really you know, and I don't really teach on eternal security one way or the other. I really don't, because it's just like the Trinity. There's no end to it. You just can't figure it all out. But here is a scripture. If you want a scripture that says there is no such thing as eternal security, this is it. These people are twice dead. They were dead in trespasses and sins before they got saved, and they got saved, and now they're dead again. So these people are dead. These people are not going to heaven. It says here, they are to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. These people are not going to heaven. You can't be born again, born again, and born again. But according to this, you can be born again and then lost again.
And then
go to hell. That's true. This would indicate that if you did do this, then there would be no hope for you anymore. So these are, you know, we're not just talking about backsliding.
No, no.
These people have gone into apostasy. That's correct. These have gone into apostasy. Yes, these guys have gone into apostasy. And there is scripture in the book of Hebrews that would indicate that if you go into apostasy after you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, there is no coming back from that. That's the end of you. Okay.
You reject Jesus completely because you know what you're doing.
Once you have the Holy Ghost, once you've tasted of the power of the Spirit in the world to come, you've been baptized with the Holy Ghost, and then go back on And then deny that it's real. And then deny that it, you know, that the salvation is real.
If you're concerned about it, then you have not done it.
That is true. I think that's a good point. So that's as far as I'm going to say about this. But if you want a scripture that says you can be lost after you've been born again, you can still go to hell, this is it. Okay?
Yeah.
This is it. All right. So I'll just point out the scriptures, you know, when I come to them. Some of them will say, you know, that will indicate that you can't be lost again. Some of them indicate you can be lost again. This is one of them that indicates you could be lost again, okay? So I don't know the answer to that. I don't know the answer to all that. I just know that I don't want this to apply to me.
That's exactly right.
That's right.
And you trust God.
That's right. I don't want this. I don't want to see me in here. Lord have mercy.
Never. But, you know, that's what the enemy works on. That's what... When the enemy comes, I always say steal first. He comes to steal.
To steal.
Steal your joy. Steal
to steal, kill, and destroy. First he has to steal, that's right.
He can do all of it.
That's right. He can't kill and destroy until he steals first.
Mm-hmm.
So he has to steal the truth of God's word from your heart before he can kill you and destroy you.
Sin hardens you more and more. So the more sin you get into, the harder you get.
That is true.
So that's right.
That is very true. That is very true. That is exactly right. All right, now we get into some more interesting scripture here. Verse 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these folks, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. So he quotes here from the book of Enoch. And remember that he quoted here in verse 9, he quoted from a book called The Assumption of Moses. Both of these books are still around. You can lay hands on them if you want to and you can read them. Now, I know some folks will say that you should not. There are a lot of folks, in my Revelation class, I would sometimes quote from various books, like from the book of Enoch, and I read a whole bunch from the book of 4th Ezra. And I know, you know, a lot of folks turn up their noses when I do that.
Oh, no.
And, but, you know, here's the deal.
It's in the Bible.
Well, it's not in the Bible. I know what this is in the Bible. Jude quoted from books that are not in the Bible, okay?
Yes.
Jude quoted from non-canonical books.
And that's what I'm saying.
That's right, he did.
He quoted in the Bible, too.
So that just because it's not in the Bible doesn't mean that there's no truth in it. There is truth in some of these books. There is great truth in the book of Enoch. There is great truth in some of these other books. There is a kernel of truth in the Assumption of Moses. But by and large, it is a ridiculous work. It is totally ridiculous. It's a silly book. And all you have to do is read it and you would turn up your nose at it right away. But Jude knew what part was good and he quoted that part which was good. So if you read these, there's truth in some of these books that are not in the Bible. Just because it's not in the Bible doesn't mean it's not true.
Well, it's kind of like you reading a book from a preacher that's inspired by the Holy Ghost. Sometimes he gets involved in it and you go, it's not right, but 90% of it could be right.
That's true, and you have to pay attention. You cannot amen everything that comes from the pulpit.
No, you can't.
You can't do it. Now, I know some folks that do. They basically amen everything that the preacher says, even when the preacher contradicts himself. And, you know, it's one of those things that really, that I don't miss these contradictions as a general rule, because for one thing, as a lawyer, you're taught to pick up on every contradiction. When a witness contradicts himself, you got to pick up on it. So I sit there and I listen to preachers and I hear them contradict themselves all the time. And some of these folks will amen a preacher when he says one thing, and then the preacher contradicts himself, and he'll amen it again. You got to be careful. Listen to what they're saying. Listen to the word. Sift the word. You have to sift it when you hear it. You have to be careful. Not everything you hear is truth. But there is truth.
You know when he takes his coat off, you know what you mean.
I have decided long ago. I decided that whenever a Jewish person speaks about the Bible, I always perk up my ears and listen. I don't care who it is. If he's an atheist, if he's Jewish, and he talks about the Bible, I perk up my ears and listen. Because these guys remember. They're hardwired to remember some things about the Word and about the Bible, that because their ancestors lived it, okay? And so I always look for truth. Anytime a Jewish person speaks about God and about the Bible, I always look for a kernel of truth. Doesn't make any difference what his life is. Doesn't make anything difference to me. I always particularly listen for that, because there is truth to be found. Just because everything is not truth doesn't mean that something is not true. So this is what you need to be looking for, truth. And Jude knew where to look for it in these books.
And so I like to quote from these books a lot of the time, because I feel like there's a lot of truth in there. And you know, I get a little bit disgusted with folks when they turn me off when I start quoting from some of these non-canonical books, because there's a lot of good stuff in there, and a lot of good stuff in the book of Jude. For example, in the book of Jude, it flat out says in the book of Jude that a biblical year is 360 days. Now, we know that from, basically, we can infer that from various things in the Bible, that a biblical year. Yeah. But the book of Jude says it very plainly, that a biblical year was 360 days. Now, and of course, they knew good and well that there were more than 360 days in a year. Now, I don't know how in the world they made all that work. I do not understand that. That's a great mystery. But it's there. So when the Bible talks about a year, we're talking 360 days, not 365. Mm-hmm. So
the calendar is different from ours, anyway.
Yeah. Well, their calendar is designed to match up with our calendar, because they know that there's actually 365 days. But nevertheless, in the Bible, a Bible year is 360 days, not 365. Now, figure that out. I don't understand that, and I don't think anybody understands that, but there it is. All right, praise the Lord. The book of Jude.
Brother Horton, I don't know how much truth it is, but some of them say it, you know, when the sun stood still. And some people say, you know, the sun didn't really stand still. That's not. But where